Hello, friends. My name is Laura Padgett, and I am the host of the Living What You're Given podcast. And one of the things I've learned in the many decades I've been living what I've been given is that I have to take time out for me to rest, to relax, to revive. And one of the places I love to do that in here in my town of Montrose, Colorado, is called the Coffee Trader. The Coffee Trader has locations in Gunnison, Montrose, and Grand Junction on the western slope of Colorado. So whether you're traveling through or you're a resident, check them out. You can find their locations by visiting their website at www.thecoffeetrader.com. Go in and set a spell, have something to eat and drink, and say hello to Dee and Fong, the owners, if they're there, and their lovely staff. Oh, and if you want to, tell them Laura sent you. And now, it is my pleasure to welcome you into Living What You're Given podcast. You know, we're in our third season with this podcast now, and we have done a theme-based year. The episodes have all been around turning the tide, sometimes on our own attitudes, sometimes on the things that we see that are going on in our families, our churches, our society, that we need to make changes in. Today we're going to be talking about how to turn the tide on the toxic politics in America. Now, those of you that know me know that I don't go into political statements on this podcast. Doesn't mean I don't have opinions. It just means that isn't what I'm doing here. But I feel so strongly and feel so led to bring in some voices of people who are not promoting red, blue, right, left, but are promoting unity, sanity, and the return of civility in our country. It can be done. I believe it can be done. I believe by listening to the voices of the people who also share those ideas, we can move in that direction. But I also know, I also believe, that for many of us, myself included, it's going to take an intentional process of releasing the fact that I think I should have everything I want. And that may take a complete pivot. Welcome back to Living What You're Given. This is Laura Padgett, and we are in a series in Living What You're Given called Turning the Tide. We've talked about racism, we've talked about anti-Semitism, we've talked about loss, we've talked about estrangement, and it just really felt very strongly in my heart, I felt very strongly that we needed to touch on the division in our country and how can we turn the tide on the political climate that we are now finding ourselves swimming or in some days sinking in. And so I brought a guest today who is going to help us kind of sort some of that out, look at it. The thing is, folks, we can't fix something if we don't know what's wrong, right? You don't go to the hardware store for milk. You got to know what's going on, and you got to know how you can participate in it. But before we get to my guest today, like always, I want to thank my musician. This particular one is my son.
Gabriel Tafoya. He's a musician in Evergreen, Colorado, and he wrote this piece a couple years ago, and it's called The Pivot. Because as I explained in the intro, the pivot is an intention to turn in a different direction. Whether you're dancing, whether you're going in a car, whatever it is, sometimes the intentionality to pivot can help us move in a direction that's more healthy and less destructive. That's what we're after today. So thank you, son Gabriel Tafoya. His information will be in the show notes, as will the information for our sponsor today, The Coffee Trader. I want to introduce you to my guest today, Mr. Kevin Coons. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Laura. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Well, we've had some good conversations, you and I, and it struck me that as we work into the tide turning, it's going to have to be a unification of both parties. Well, all parties now. We have a lot of different parties. We have independents, we have undeclared. Unfortunately, right now, we also have the party of I no longer care, which I run into a lot. So we want to address them as well. But before we get into that, Kevin, your biography is so interesting to me. You have lived in different countries. You were in Africa for years with your folks who were in the, your dad in the oil industry. You all were in Africa. You have been in, grown up in the farming industry and with educators. You have been in Wyoming, Arizona, Lake Tahoe, all over this country. You're now in Montrose, Colorado. But within your bio, I found it so interesting that you had a diversified background in jobs and in cultures and in areas that you've lived. You have been in the restaurant business, had your own restaurant. You were instrumental in a management company that placed lots of managers in Fortune 500 companies. So, management, business, farming. And now, in recent years, and how I met you, is that you have done lots of work here in Montrose, Colorado, with the Democratic Party. And your volunteerism and your work in that party and your commitment to the lack of polarization, if I can put it that way, and the beginning to birth unity now for us is what has been so interesting to me and why I wanted you on this show. If it's okay with you, I want to share something from your bio. From Olathe to Slick Rock. From Dove Creek to Telluride and all the towns and rural areas in between, we are a diverse group of people who must unite to have strong voice in our state government. And I think that can be said for our national as well. And together we can and will be heard. That sums everything up about your bio to me, except for the fact that you have been married to your beautiful wife, Bobby, whom I've met. She's just adorable. And you have some kiddos. You have a son who's in the military, son and daughter-in-law who actually are in the military. They live in San Diego, and they are the parents of your 6-year-old granddaughter. You also have a daughter who lives in Missoula, Montana. Beautiful area. I've been up there. And she's a structural engineer. So when somebody looks at Kevin Coons and puts all of these pieces together, it means that your voice is a valid one. You are indeed somebody who can speak to diversity, unification, and trying to break polarization in our district, in our state, in our country, and in our world. So thank you again for being here. If you want to add anything to that bio, my friend, please do.
No, that you hit it really well. Thank you for that. That was very you were well spoken on that, and I am blessed that I was able to have that opportunity at a young age to be living in Africa and learn very young with diversity. I had to take Arabic every day for an hour. So by the time I left, I was in the third grade and I could speak and write Arabic. Now I can't anymore. But it really, and then we spent 2 summers in Europe. So I was exposed to things that a lot of people never get exposed to, and I think it served me well as I've tried to navigate these days of polarization and divisiveness.
Well, and I also want to call attention again to the military connection you have. Your son and daughter-in-law are in the Navy, and serving in the Navy. And you know, I want to say thank you to you as the parents and also to them as the service members. My father was United States Army. He died of war wounds, and I never knew the man well. And I think I talked to you about that one time. And I think it's very important that as we thank our military, we thank our veterans, the serving and the retired. I think it's very important to take into that lens the sacrifice made by the families of those of us who have watched our loved ones serve, have watched them die for this country. So I fly my flag very proudly
Me too.
because I understand that there's a lot of blood on it, and some of it is for my family. So thank you again. Thank you, and thank your children for me, please.
Luckily, military, I go back just to expand on that. My dad, who just recently passed, was a Marine, served in Korea. My
Oh.
brother-in-law was in the Navy for 30 years. My granddaddy was a medic in World War I. Both my
Wow.
uncles served in WW2, and my cousin was in Nam, so that I'm the only one actually. I grew up in the Vietnam era. I had my draft card for 2 years, but if I look back, I wish it's one thing I would have done. I wish I would have spent 2 or 4 years serving, and I didn't.
Okay.
But I'm like you, my flag's up every day, lit up at night, and I'm a proud patriot.
That's right. So let's talk about that. It's interesting to me that as we talk about the divisiveness in our country, and friends, I want to go right here and I want to say, and I know I got friends from both sides of this, the right, the left, the red, the blue, the middle, the even some who are, as I said, apathetic at this point. But I want to say something. This podcast and the one that will follow it are not about pointing fingers. We are not trying to take a knife and slice into the division and make it worse. We're trying to identify why are we divided? How can we turn it around? How can we go forward? Not as red, not as blue, not as right, not as left, not as independents, not as unaffiliated as American citizens. So I hope that you, if you heard me say that he's a leader in the Democratic Party in Colorado, that you will not be turned off by thinking we're going to be polarizing. Our next guest is from the Republican Party, and I'll talk about him in a little bit too. Anyway, we are now going to start into some of our questions. And it would be my honor when you hear this if you would send me some questions that maybe we could continue to dialogue at any time in any way, meet you for coffee, whatever. Oh boy, how'd we get here, Kevin? How'd we get into this division, my friend?
Well, first of all, it's a very complex question, and there's probably a lot of different philosophies on that. But as I've spent the last 9 years really diving into the political landscape, I think it really started probably about 15 years ago. And I
Okay.
really believe that what happened in the media, whether it be social media, Twitter, newscasts, or whatever, I think somewhere we went from the media being sharing the news to media becoming an entertainment. And they found out there's a lot more money out there dividing us than uniting us. And you
Exactly.
see it now where the news, I don't think they're giving you the news. They're trying to tell you what you should think, or they're trying to think, tell you how you should feel. And sadly, when they're doing that, they're demonizing people that don't think like that, look like that, act like that. So what's happened is you have, and a lot of it sadly is not always the truth. So you have people giving this entertainment spin on it, and it's like all of a sudden they're pitting one group of people against another. And I think it started back then. I just think it's escalated where you see it now, where it's like, where's the news? All I'm reading is sensationalism, or it's conspiracy theories, or it's something that's going to sell. It's all about money and selling. And I think that's where we've gotten this point now where, we're blaming each other for things that, and why we're blaming each other for everything. There's other stuff happening behind the curtain that's really bad, but we're not paying attention to it because we're busy blaming and finger pointing each other. And I really think it believes on that demonizing, and that if you don't believe like I believe, then there's something wrong with you. There's no compromise. There's no looking at it and trying to vet, and there's no vetting anymore of these opinions. You hear it, people go, well, I heard it. Where'd you hear it? I heard it on Facebook. Well, did you look and see if that was really true? Well,
Exactly.
no. you know, it's the media. I think it's true. So I think that's where we've gotten this point where it's just like, you know, and it's become politicized. It's become, like I said, it's been coming on for a while. And now you look at it and it's almost like big business to sell conspiracies, not sell the truth.
And you did mention to me that you had thought about this question because you and I, and we just covered it a little bit with the service of our families. And what does the word patriot mean, Kevin?
Well, I used to think the word patriot meant you believed in the values of our country, that you believed in the rule of law, that you believed in the Constitution. You believed that, you know, we had a set of, as a democracy, we were the beacon for hope. We were the beacon for truth, justice, freedom for all, equality for all. That to me was what patriotism was about. Somehow, once again, I think it's because of the media and talking heads, they flipped that switch and we went from patriotism to nationalism. And those are two totally different things. If I'm a patriot and I think my government is doing something wrong or isn't doing the right thing, then I think it's my duty to call that out. And that's still being a patriot. Today, it's almost like that saying that I hate more than anything, if you don't like it, leave it. You know, because I'm questioning our government. You know what I think we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's two parties. I think there's why there's different opinions. So I think the term patriot is being misused a lot today. It's like, you can't be a patriot if you're, I hate to say this, you can't be a patriot if you're a Democrat. Well, why would you say that? My whole family served. Somebody's painted a picture that, you know, if you don't love, or if somebody takes a knee at a football game, it means they're disrespecting their country. No, they're not disrespecting. They're making a statement that they disagree about something that's happening in our government. That's being patriotic as much as going and joining the military, the Marines, you know? So I think that's where, once again, we become divided on, if you don't believe everything, you can no longer be a patriot. I think that's the furthest thing from the truth.
I agree with you. And I think you and I were having coffee one day and we were talking about this, and my favorite saying about people who say, if you don't like it, leave it. I say, gosh, it must be magic being married to them. I mean, I can't imagine telling my husband at 30 years, hey, if you don't like this, buddy, you can take a walk. It doesn't even occur to me to do that, because to me, the unification of the union and the years we've spent together and what we've weathered together. And that's the same thing too with our country. And that is, you know, it must, man, it must be magic.
Or raising your children, and you look at your son or daughter and go, if you don't like it, leave it. Well, Dad, I'm only 8 years old. Okay, well, let's think about it then. You know what I mean? You know, somewhere you have to say, you know, you have to respect, you know, it's you know, it's compromise, you know, and it's, you know, we've been compromising our whole life. You get married, if you don't compromise, you don't stay married very long.
That's right.
If you're successful in a marriage or a business or as a parent, you've been compromising and making, you know, decisions based upon, okay, let's look at what's good for everybody. Okay, I don't get my way this time, you don't get your way, but we're in the middle and we're all going to win something.
That's right.
And that's become another thing that's been polarized, that if you compromise, that means you're a bad thing. Or today, I guess it means you're woke, whatever the heck woke really means.
Yeah, I don't know.
It means in a dictionary. And when I look at it, I go, yeah, that pretty much sounds like me. See, I care about other people. I care about the best interests of everybody. I hope the best for everybody. I mean, so once again, how is that bad? Or how is compromise bad? Well, because it's been painted that way by somebody out there. That's and I always love it, because usually it's some guy in his basement that's telling us how we should think or what we should believe, you know? So I think that's, anyway, I think you're right about it. Love or leave, it doesn't work too well in anything.
Well, it doesn't. And, you know, and also the fact that I always have to be right. And I love the poet, Mr. Ogden Nash. And he wrote this lovely poem on marriage. And he said, to keep the marriage healthy and fill the loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. And I think that's a really good thing. I might be right, but someday I wake up and that's all I am. And oh boy, ain't that going to be fun. Oh, gosh. And I think you just answered the next question about how this term has been skewed. And I came from a Jesuit education. Interesting. I don't say it's better than others. But one of the things I learned at Regis University was I never learned what to think so much as I learned how to think. And the critical thought process seems to be almost fodder for anaphylactic shock these days. We can't think critically. We have to follow an agenda. We have to follow a narrative. And to stop, like you said, and that's what I offer you listeners today. I think Kevin's given you a brilliant piece of solution-oriented action, and that is, think about it. That is, check it out. That is, look it up at different sources. If there's something that gets up your nose or causes you a reaction, figure it out. Figure out if it's true, because you might be wasting a lot of energy on something that is a lie. So let's talk now. We've identified the problem, doctor. Let's put the patient on the table and do a wee bit of reconstructive and corrective surgery. What, in your opinion, are some ways that we can begin to restore civility, cooperation, collaboration in ourselves? We need that to run this country. So, you got some ideas on that, Kevin?
Well, there's a Christian guy out there I followed for a while, John Pavlos, who I really like, who has sort of stepped away from traditional Christianity. I got to meet him in the Telluride Film Festival. I have dinner with him about 3 years ago. It was awesome. And he brought me a copy of his book, A Bigger Table. And I started really getting behind that. And in fact, I shared that recently with an interview I did for the press. When she asked me a similar question, I said, we have to get back to having a bigger table where there's a bunch of us around there that have ideas or thoughts of what we believe, why we believe it, and it's okay to share those. It's a safe space to share those. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that if we all did that, 90% of what we believe, all of us believe that. We all have the same values. We all believe in the same things. What sadly happens again is the 10% really is loud. It's loud, it's obnoxious, and it's out there all the time. So I think we need to come back to empathy, compassion. Let's sit around and talk about things and listen and go, you know what, Laura, I never thought about it that way. I never looked at it through your lens. I've always looked at it through what I made a belief or what I thought was right or wrong. And now you're telling me this, and I'm going, that makes a lot of sense. And I would not have thought about that if you and I did not have that conversation. If I just said, if you don't believe, and we'll just take issues, if you don't believe like I believe in, say, the Second Amendment, or you don't believe like I believe in pro-life or pro-choice, or if you don't believe other things like I do, that should be okay. I should say, I respect you for what you believe. Okay, and here's how I believe, but you know what? Let's talk about other things like education, affordable housing, or what's going on in opioids and all those mental health issues. So many of those things we agree on. So let's just look at it and go, I respect you. We don't agree on one thing. That's fine. It should be like, I always said, if you have two people in the room that always agree with each other, one's not needed. And I learned that from my first business guy. I said, you're so right. If you're sitting around, go, yeah, you're right. I believe. Well, sooner or later, what a boring conversation. I'm
Me.
like her, and I might go, you know what? I'm never going to agree with you on this, Laura, but I respect it. It's given me a different perspective on something that's going on in our society or in our culture. And now I'm going to have a bigger bandwidth to understand that when I talk to somebody else that might be feel just like you do, and I can have that same conversation, and we could walk away shaking hands, And I'll tell you, and I'm just going to use Montrose as an example. There's a lot of Republican friends I have in Montrose, and we have those discussions, and we've grown those discussions. We started appreciating each other for the fact that we're just hardworking Americans that are trying to do the best we can every day in our lives. We just happen to have a few small differences, and that's okay.
And I agree with that. And I'm glad you brought up Mr. is Pavlov. How do you pronounce it? Pavlovich.
Pavlovich, yeah, Pavlovich or Pavlovich. Yeah, I've seen her both
I
ways.
follow him, and he is sometimes he's up in your face, but sometimes he's just, and he's actually, I believe, a minister of some sort.
Yeah, he
Yeah,
is.
he's an ordained minister. But I started following him in the Trump years because he was really calling some light to some things. And again, we're not pointing fingers here, but what he was doing was calling us into, and I think this is the artist's mission. It's my mission as an artist, whether I'm writing, speaking, podcasting, dancing, whatever. I'm not here to bring the answer. I'm here to call the question, let you find the answer. And then I respect what your answer is. It's been my experience that sometimes in these interviews, we kind of take off on our own tangent. But to me, what we have done here today is put sort of some different eyeglasses on to see that we're not enemies, friends. We're not enemies. And the people who want to make us enemies are profiting from our division, as in the press, as in the different kinds of give to this so we can destroy this group. And it's just our choice to pivot away and say, wait a minute, let me think about this. And I offer you all opportunity to do a personal inventory. Let's have a look at your motivation. Let's have a look at my motivation. Why am I insistent my way is the only way? Why am I insistent that you must agree with me in order for my point to be a valid one? Why must it be that we have to be enemies if we don't see things the same way? And there are some groups, Kevin, and I wanted us to touch on that a bit too. There are some ways people can begin to get active in some of this stuff. You know, the amount of activity is up to you folks. I know how busy folks are. I know how money's so tight right now. But Kevin, there are places to support the way we feel about unification. And by the way, I'm in 16 countries. So Kevin, you're in 16 countries today. And here's the deal. This is not just America. This is everywhere, friends. This is going on everywhere. But Christian, I speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ right now. If you're going to tell me that a Christian needs to stay out of politics, I've heard that. People told me, Laura, stay out of politics. I think I have a different Jesus. You know, Jesus, people want to believe he was killed by Jews. He was killed by politicians. He was a frightful individual. He had messages of equity, justice, sharing, caring. Those are not things that will ever develop or be sustained within polarization. We must, in my opinion, my feeling is, it's part of my mission as a person who claims to follow Jesus Christ, to walk out those missions that can cause us to take a look at ourselves, check our ego at the door. By the way, ego is an acronym for edging God out, and we can look at each other through that lens of the love we've been taught. Even if you don't believe in my faith base, that's cool. I'm fine with that. But he did teach unification. And therefore, I see it as part of my mission as a Christian artist to walk into that light of unification. So tell me now, Kevin, what kind of things can we offer to people who might be looking for places to either read or go to meetings or, you know, just kind of hook up with other folks of similar mind? What kind of resources can we offer?
I'd just like to just take a second, bounce back to a couple of things you said that I really like. One, I saw a great picture yesterday. It was a picture of Jesus. And yes, he had dark skin and brown hair. And the picture was, FYI, I'm the most woke person you've ever known. And I love that. But I want to go back. I want to go back a second on a bigger table talking to people. You know, last year I ran for office in Colorado for HD 58. And when I did that, Bobby and my wife and I drove 9,000 miles from all the way down in southwestern Colorado, all the way up to Crested Butte, many one-on-ones, group meetings, open houses, you know, everything you can imagine. And I'll tell you, the thing that I shared in that whole thing was when I sit down and talk to people, how do you feel? What do you feel is going on? What's discouraging to you? What keeps you up at night? It was funny. They didn't talk about what I thought they would, like, oh, it's school, or it's the climate, or it's public education, or it's all these, which did come later, but almost to a T, they said, Kevin, you know what? I feel like I don't have a voice anymore. I feel like I don't matter anymore. I feel like all this divisive, polarizing rhetoric coming out from our elected officials is doing nothing but destroy the country or destroy what's going on. And once again, they wanted conversations. They wanted to get back to where you're having conversations and it wasn't all about policy. It was about values. It was about who we are. And that was RDs used, libertarian. I don't care who they were. And most of the time I never asked because I don't care. I just wanted to hear their voice. So going back to a bigger table and voices. So if you look where you can do that, you know I can't remember off the top of my head. I think you brought it up earlier. Adam Kinzinger, of course, we all know Adam, and they, him and Liz Cheney were both on part of that committee, and he started his own group.
Country First, and I'm going to have that website in the show notes. Yeah, and go ahead.
That's one good one. And then about a year and a half ago up in Grand Junction, a group of Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated got together and created Restore the Balance, which is a great organization. And what it's about, really and truly, is about getting back, not only having conversations, but gets back to extremism, is dividing this country, and it's a cancer that's going against democracy, against, you know, what's going on, what we've always been as a country. And they do some great work, nonpartisan. And there's another group I'm excited about that I only got introduced to last year. It's called Unify America, and it's out of Chicago. It's the same thing. It's a group that gets together and does town hall meetings and sets down at one-on-ones in communities, figures out what are your concerns in your community. How can we bring people together to solve problems without bringing in politics? And what's really cool about it is the guy, Gentleman Harry, that's the CEO, and I can't remember his last name, came to Montrose. For some reason, he picked Montrose. Came here and for about 3 months did these open house meetings, these workshops on different things, mental health, affordable housing, a child care, all these different things. And from that, he got so excited about Montrose and the how much of a caring community it was that he's now moved here. He's living here. And now he's created Unify Montrose. And I saw him at Coffee Trader the other day, and he's now their first big project they're working on is child care, which is a problem everywhere in this country. Parents can't afford to have kids. If they have kids, they have to have four jobs. They can't afford a home. No longer can young couples afford a home. There's no way for them to build wealth. Generational wealth is almost gone anymore. Something that we had as growing up. So that's another great organization, which is Unify. You can do unifymontrose.org or unifyamerica.org. And then of course you have restorethebalance.org. And I was excited. They actually endorsed me last year in my campaign.
They did. Really, I know.
Because they knew that I was somebody that believed in bringing people together, not splitting them. Unification, not division. So those are three good ways to see. There's a lot of people out there today that are really over this divisiveness. They've seen where it's taken this country in the last 6 years. And they want to say, enough's enough. This is a country that should be about democracy. Everyone has a voice. Everyone should be able to vote. And that's what we need to get back to. You know, and I think there's a lot of good organizations of people. And once again, it doesn't mean you have to donate money to them. A lot of people think, oh, if I get involved with these people, they're going to want my money. They don't want your money. They want your voice. They want to hear your perspective that they may have never heard before or what, you know. So it's getting involved is not always about donating. It's about participating. Yeah. You know, I have one saying I love. Passion without action is just observation. So passion needs action, and that's what these groups are doing.
I just love that, and I think those are some great things. You've given us some really good stuff to think about when we talk about cause, we talk about solution, we talk about the ways we can find others and find out more information. And these are not partisan groups. They're not going to tell you to dislike the Republican, the Democrat, the unaffiliate. They're not going to do that. They're going to bring different voices together. And that's really, again, what I would ask you, my listening audience, what is your motivation? If you really sit down and do a spiritual inventory or a mental inventory, and say, what is my motivation to having everything in one party? What's the motivation? And do you really think in the end that's going to work? I mean, really, think it out. Think it out. If you can spend 2 minutes a day doing something like that, or even 5 minutes a week, whatever, that might help all of us. I know I think about it a lot. I am involved in these groups and hopefully getting involved in Unified Montrose. I knew they were here, but I didn't know how to get a hold of them. But we're going to help you do that if you want to. In the meantime, I hope if you're out there, I can't hear you, but you can hear me clapping and saying thank you, Kevin Koons. You're a busy man, and taking this time with my wee podcast has simply just been a privilege and an honor, and I believe a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I sure enjoyed it. I hope somebody got something about it, and get involved. Be part of your community. Have a voice. Realize that your voice matters. It's not, you know, people always say, you know, well, it doesn't matter anymore. Oh, yes, it does. Mm. And the reason we're in some of these situations is because people have quit using their voice. Just get involved. You'd be amazed that people want to hear your voice and want you to be part of the solution. you know?
And that's right. And there's nothing worse than not being heard and being minimized or being marginalized and just being told you don't matter. And our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, who will be on at the end of July, I'm running these two segments on turning the tide on toxic politics in July for a reason, July the 4th, right? Our Independence Day. I want us all to begin to think about what that means. How do we remain in a unified situation here? So our next guest is Mr. Don Corum. Don Corum was a Colorado State Senator. He's also a Colorado State Representative. And he is a Republican who has, like Kevin, come to the idea that if we don't reach across the aisle, if we don't hold each other in dignity and listen to what other people are talking about, that we're just kind of doomed. And he taught me something that I really wish, if I ever had a tattoo, I'm scared of needles, but if I ever had a tattoo, this is what it would say, what Mr. Corum taught me. For those people who think that you can get by with just sitting on the sidelines, letting the rest of us work, if you're not at the table, you're probably going to be on the menu. And Mr. Corum has said that a lot, and I've heard him say it. So again, I want to thank you, Kevin, before we sign off. I really thank you. I hope we can keep this momentum going in our little town, in our district, in our state, in our country.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really did. Great time.
It's been a good time. And folks, if you want to catch up with me, I'm lauralpaget.com. That's my website. And my books are there that I've written. And so are my blogs. So are all the podcast episodes that I've done. I'm in my third season now. And so are my speaking topics, if you have an interest in that. Not only is my information going to be in the show notes, so will Gabriel's. If you want to reach out to him, he does a lot of composing for folks. And also, we will list at least these three that we have talked about. It's called Unify America. Is it called Unify America? Unify Montrose. And Adam Kinzinger's group, and they hold every 6 weeks, they hold Zooms all over the country, thousands of people talking about country over party, country first, and then restore the balance, which we have here in Colorado. And I believe it's a nationwide movement. Am I wrong, Kevin?
No, just statewide now. They haven't gotten out of Colorado yet.
Okay. Well, there you go. But you can still have a wee look at them and see what they're up to. In the show notes, I'm also including the website for the Coffee Trader. These are the folks that sponsored this episode. We thank them. Check them out. Check out their menu and their locations. Oh, what a wonderful time. And I feel exhilarated, but I also feel tired. I feel burdened, but I feel responsibility. And I'm hoping that is where we'll go. I know there are a lot of young people that listen to this podcast too, and I really thank you. Please get involved. Kevin's not kidding. If you don't get involved, there will be a day when you will not have that option. That's really true. And sometimes what it means to get involved is to drop my agenda at the door, to put my ego in a bucket, to find a way to say, maybe I really don't know everything in this world. And that, my friends, may take an intentionality that will mediate a pivot. Until next time, thank you for being here with us. God bless. Bye-bye.